Welcome to the Indisposable Podcast, produced by Upstream and supported this season by Patagonia. I'm your host, Brookine Gatewood. Thanks for joining for another episode celebrating solutions to plastic pollution. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Indisposable Podcast. Today, we have a very special episode featuring the three winners from Upstream's recent Plastic Free July contest. Now, Plastic Free July originated in 2011 in Western Australia as a project of Earth Carers, which is an organization that educates people about the consequences of pollution. And it has since grown to become an annual event in over 150 countries, focused on encouraging people to be more aware of their plastic use, to practice reducing in their own lives, to learn about recycling systems and creative forms of reuse. To celebrate Plastic Free July this year, Upstream wanted to pass the mic to you, our listeners and fans, to highlight some of the stories of what you all are up to in your everyday lives and communities to build a better way than throwaway. So we held a social contest on Instagram, asking people to submit videos of themselves and their story of what it is they're doing to build a better way than throwaway, and this episode features three of those winners. First, we'll hear from Ladin Gayak, co-founder and CEO of Plastic Score, an app that rates restaurants on their single-use plastic habits. Then we'll talk with Jess Blasco, who is developing a COVID-friendly refill station in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. And last but not least, we'll talk with Ryan Cope, who, much like Upstream, uses social media to spread stories of everyday Earth heroes doing their part to build a better way than throwaway. So I'm going to jump right in with Mladen. Mladen, welcome to the show, and thank you so much for submitting the Plastic Score story to our contest.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Really excited to be here.
So I understand the idea for the Plastic Score app came out of a tech incubator weekend. Tell us a little bit about your startup origin story.
Yeah, sure. So I started kind of my career in the energy industry, sort of trying to, you know, make change with climate change and sustainability from inside the system. And, you know, it was a really great experience, worked with a lot of great people and saw how the inner workings were there. But there is a lot of bureaucracy, a lot of regulation, and you know, I'd always had an entrepreneurial spirit and wanted to kind of jump out and try to do something from outside of the system. That's kind of how I got into it. And I was just kind of exploring different ways to get into entrepreneurship and saw this tech startup weekend happening. So just kind of came there without any agenda or even the idea for this app.
Did you already have your partners or did you meet them during the weekend? Because you have an engineering background, right?
Yep. I've got an engineering background and I met my team at that weekend. So it was pretty serendipitous that we all met there and we're all in good positions in our life to, you know, really take the dive and leap of faith to try to build something. So really worked out well just meeting the team over there.
So for those who haven't used the app yet, tell us a little bit about it. What's the idea you all came up with and how far along are you and you know, how do people access it and all that good basic stuff?
Yeah, definitely. So Plastic Score is a zero waste rating for restaurants where we help you know if you're going to get styrofoam and plastic or reusables at more sustainable practices when you go out to eat or order delivery. And then we use that transparency and the voice of our users to motivate restaurants to improve and help them make those changes on the back end. So really trying to use a kind of a Yelp-like pressure through that transparency to show restaurants, hey, your customers care about plastic pollution. Actually going to reusables can save you a lot of money and give a better experience for those customers. So really trying to get attention for restaurants on sustainability and using the rating system as the kind of the mechanism for that. We've been building the app over the last year. We launched in March, so right when COVID started, which was a little rough, especially with how the restaurant industry has been impacted. Mm-hmm. And I've kind of had a slow growth from there, ramping up a bit more in Plastic Free July. And what we just did now is we're launching a new feature where we're going to offset a takeout order's worth of plastic waste for every single review that we get. So if you're concerned about waste, you can still go out and support restaurants during this time. If you do get waste, we'll offset that whole takeout order. If you don't get any waste, that's even better because we'll be pulling out more than is being put in. So really excited to add that aspect to it and, you know, help people still go out there and support restaurants, offset their waste right now and use our system to build, you know, change in the restaurant industry towards a reusable future.
And it's user generated, right? So you need people to help you guys build more and more accurate ratings. Am I getting that part of how it works, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So a user would go in there, they would have a meal and they just answer a few simple questions on, you know, did you get a styrofoam cup or a reusable one? Were utensils given you automatically or by request? So a few simple questions like that, we guide them through the survey, and then we develop a rating and a score for the restaurant based on the answers to those questions.
And the rating system is in turtles, right?
Right, exactly. The turtles were really what kind of brought us into this whole space. We didn't really have the traditional sustainability background, but we all were, you know, pretty shocked by the, you know, video of the turtle with a straw in its nose. And that was kind of the sort of the mascot or the vision for getting to a world free of plastic pollution. And all of us kind of were brought in there and really saw how big of an issue plastic pollution was. As I've been digging into it and learning more of this past year, it's pretty remarkable how widespread it is. And I think it just goes to show how mainstream it's becoming to know all these things and really work towards zero waste and reusable future.
Yeah, it's really exciting. And so your goal, I think I read somewhere when I was researching this episode, is you want it to be as, you know, a go-to, a resource as Yelp in terms of people being able to assess their purchasing decisions to reduce plastic waste in their own restaurant experience.
Yeah, exactly. And we know that we're probably not going to take over Yelp or Google reviews as the main, you know, place that people go for those, because people care about the quality of the food, what kind of experience they're going to have. But we're hoping that we have enough people out there leaving reviews that we can license these ratings to the other review platforms. So when you're looking for a restaurant to eat, even if you're not a zero waste fanatic, you know, you may see two similar restaurants and one has a couple more turtles next to the star reviews, and maybe you'll start going there, and we'll slowly have those decisions change. Restaurants will take notice of us, and then we can tell them, hey, we can get you more customers and save you money by switching you over to reusable and more sustainable practices. So that's the goal there. And we don't really need that many people out there reviewing to have that data set, which makes this whole thing work.
Yeah. You know, I know that so many people are worried about restaurants right now because they are struggling as businesses. How do you feel like the rating is going to, you know, help or potentially hurt the restaurants as they're trying to get back on their feet?
Yeah. So we think, you know, we're very cognizant that restaurants are going through a really tough time right now. And we want to show them that, as you know, you can save a lot of money by implementing reusables, even just simple steps as not giving out napkins and utensils with your takeout orders can save them money. And we'll promote that even if they're using styrofoam containers, but just take that first initial step. We would love to celebrate all those small victories and give all these restaurants a pathway towards, you know, becoming more sustainable and getting to that 5 turtle zero waste score. So really bring that in. And the other thing to think about is there are a lot of people in the zero waste space that want to support restaurants, but aren't going out to eat because they're afraid of packaging waste. So It's one of those things of, you know, it's really bringing in more people that will come to your restaurant because this is such a big concern.
Yeah. And, you know, at Upstream, we have people on our team who have been really involved in some of the research on how the choice to shift away from disposables actually ends up saving restaurants a lot of money in the long run. So hopefully it'll help incentivize them to make that transition, which is also good for business in the end.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. It's first I want to thank Upstream for all the resources you guys have, because that was really changed my whole thinking about everything. Was really instrumental to building this system and really fine tuning our rating system to put out what's most sustainable out there and really focusing on the reuse aspects. And then the case studies from Rethink Disposable are, you know, pretty awesome on, you know, you can save a lot of money with this. I think it's just a lack of education. And there just seems like a stigma that anything that's sustainable is going to cost more money. And yeah. I think with the rating system, we want to bring them in, get their attention, and then show them this, you know, secret that sustainability is great for business.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it's also an exciting one because this is a really easy way for those who are passionate about this issue to take regular action in their lives. Just download the app, put it on your phone, Plastic Score, and whenever you go out, you know, anybody who's listening can help improve the quality of your app and make it a more useful resource for the movement and for restaurants as well.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. We'll give the plug. Anyone that wants to download it, please go ahead and do it. Leave some reviews. Give us some feedback, because as a startup, user feedback really helps us improve the experience and really make this something that's going to make a really big impact in plastic pollution. So would love any help we can get.
Awesome. So the last thing I want to ask you is, how did this topic get into your heart? Everyone has their own story. You mentioned the straws, the sea turtle images with the straws. Are there any other pieces that helped you become a real advocate for building a world without waste?
Yeah, I think it was just part of the, you know, seeing our team that came in there. And I came from a utility background. My two co-founders came in from an aerospace and defense background. And we were coming in and we were all feeling, you know, that this is just like, it's just an icky feeling when you're stuffing all the trash down into a trash can after you get your takeout meals. And just seeing that where it's, you know, this is mainstream now. This is something that people don't like. Waste is something that I think everyone can get around more and more. And really saw that there needs to be this transparency because people will choose a more sustainable option if they're given the right information. So it just seemed like the right time and the right place in the world.
Awesome. Well, thank you for doing what you guys are doing. And again, for anybody who wants to help support, which I hope is all our listeners, you can download the Plastic Score app on anywhere you get your apps, right? And get involved.
Yep. We're live on both the App Store and Google Play. So give it a download and let us know how you like it.
Awesome. Thanks, Mladen.
Thanks so much.
I am here with Jess Blasco, who is one of our Solutioneer winners of the Plastic Free July contest. Jess is a physical therapist by day and has started a very exciting project in her home state of New Hampshire called the Refill Station. Jess, welcome, and thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So tell us about the Refill Station. What is it?
So the Refill Station is something that I've been working on or thinking about for the past year, maybe more, and just have finally decided to move forward with it. And what it will be is a place, our mission is to reduce our plastic footprint. So it will be somewhere where you can maybe come. I'm not sure. We're still kind of figuring out how it will work exactly in this time of COVID. Mm-hmm. But ultimately it'll be a place where you can refill your household products. So you're not continuously buying those single use plastic bottles of laundry soap, dish soap, cleaning supplies, dishwasher detergent, those types of things.
Awesome. And yeah, it's probably an interesting time for you. You had this idea, you got going on it, and then COVID hit. So how has that impacted progress on getting going?
It impacted it greatly. Our goal had originally been to open on Earth Day. Mm. And once COVID hit, it just kind of put the brakes on the project for a while. I mean, our state was in lockdown, so that was a factor. And my husband and I have two young children, so now we're trying to figure out what feels right and safe as far as childcare as we move forward. So we're really reassessing the way that it'll work. You know, originally it was just intended to be a traditional retail space, open 6 days a week, and now we're considering how curbside will play into that and maybe even some pickup and delivery things, sort of like the old milkman idea.
You can
leave your bottles on the front step and we'll come and get them and refill them and drop them off the next day or something. So we're really assessing what it's going to look like.
So you have two kids, you have a full-time job, and you're starting a business. Where did this idea come from that inspired you to try to make time for this big new project in your life?
Well, it's sort of a long time in the making for me. As you said, I've been a physical therapist for about 18 years now. And I'm very fortunate that I really enjoy the work that I do and I've had great success, but I've been feeling for a while like my work needed to shift somehow and I wanted to have more of a community impact instead of just a one-on-one impact. Mm-hmm. And at first I thought maybe that would be nutrition, but the environment has sort of always lingered out there for me is what can I do to help this planet, especially now that I have two young children. What kind of planet am I leaving for them? And if they ever decide to have children. And so about a year and a half ago, of all people, actually, the woman who does my hair mentioned she used to be on the West Coast and there was a place where she could go to refill her shampoo and conditioner bottles so that she could reuse them. And that's sort of what sparked this initial thought of that is a brilliant idea. And how do we bring that over to the East Coast if it's not here already? And what would that look like? And it sort of just grew and built from that.
That's awesome. Yeah, you know, I live in Los Angeles myself, and we have a place here called Sustain LA that is a refill station concept in my neighborhood, and they are a little more common probably on the West Coast. But I'm really intrigued by your idea of the milkman style version of it, which is, you know, both a COVID solution but also an interesting model, especially in a more small town community like the one you live in New Hampshire.
Yeah, for me, it just seems like it could be a safe way to operate right now. It could also be a way for me that I, you know, practicality wise, I could have my kids involved because they could be in the car with me and we could go and pick up everybody's jugs. And the trick for us is that we don't have glorious weather like you do all the time in LA. Mm-hmm. So we had talked about even just having some sort of vehicle where we would have supplies right there so we could come fill your bottles up and leave them right back on your doorstep. Mm. That might not always be practical in the dead of winter.
With a snowplow.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So there might be, you know, more of a, we pick everything up on Monday and drop it off for you on Wednesday after we can take it to the shop and fill it up.
Exciting. You know, I love that part of what your story brings is, you know, you have young kids and a family and work and a busy life, but are still finding a way to vision toward the future that you want in terms of more community engagement, environmentally aligned values, and are moving toward this business. The last thing I want to ask is just a little bit about, you know, how did you do your research? What are some of the things you've learned along the way? And yeah, any tips you have for anybody else out there who says, I might like to do something like that in my community?
Well, I will say first and foremost, I'm still learning. You know, every day, the more you look online and the more you delve into this, the more resources you find, the more people who are doing things in various ways similar to your idea. So some of my biggest helpful things have been, there are actually some similar shops opening in my region, I will say in Southern Maine and Northern Massachusetts. They have a little different focus than I do. They're also focusing on personal care products like shampoo and conditioner and lotion and things like that. I'm just going to stick to household goods. But just using them as a resource to connect for what they're doing, where they're getting their products, you know, how they got started was extremely helpful for me. And then also some of the organizations out there that have already done a lot of the research for me. So in looking into products that I'm going to sell and market and use, I've been using the Environmental Working Group because they do a lot of independent research on products that are safe and effective for not only us personally, but for the environment. So I've been using them as a resource to kind of see, okay, I'm thinking about trying to use this product. Is that a good plan or not? And how do they compare it to others? And then I will say one of the things that I've found most helpful is, you know, anytime you start to think about the environment or any of these major social issues that we're trying to work through right now, it can feel overwhelming. And some of the things that I've read and heard people say is just start small, you know, just pick one thing and try to fix that. And that is sort of what my mission is with the refill station. Like if I can just have a small impact on my community and start there and help people start to think about how much plastic they're using in their household on a daily basis for their cleaning needs and those types of things, then that's a good first step for me. You know, there's all kinds of other single-use plastics we use all over the place and food and everywhere. But if I can just have a vision and a goal of at least I start here and I try to help with this piece, then it feels more manageable and kind of getting lost in the minutia of it all.
Yeah, it's a great point. One step at a time, right? We'll get you somewhere bigger than it seems when you just take that first step.
Exactly.
Well, this is so exciting. And again, for listeners, Jess is in the city of Portsmouth, New Hampshire. So if you're ever in that part of the world in the next few years, check out the refill station, whether it's a store or a more like ice cream truck style, right? Where you can refill the products right outside of people's houses. And I want to thank you again for your vision and your time for participating in this contest and wish you the best with the project.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity and it was a pleasure to speak to you.
Awesome. Great. So now I am going to talk with Ryan Cope. Ryan, tell us about Seven in the Ocean, this project that is your baby these days, and how did you get into the project, and what is it, and how can people get involved?
It's a great question, Brooking. It's one that's still unfolding. So Seven in the Ocean came about 10 years ago when I was finishing my undergraduate thesis at the University of Maine. And the topic was plastic pollution, and I was looking at different solutions to plastic pollution in the ocean specifically. And I was sort of focusing on recycling. And so the name Seven comes from the fact that there are seven different types of plastic out there. And number seven is notoriously difficult to get rid of. You can't recycle it. You can't really do anything with it besides throw it away, maybe burn it, I suppose. So the name Seven in the Ocean was just sort of a play on words. I was looking at all the different types of plastic and what was ending up in the ocean. And I just sort of in my head thought, well, you can't do anything with number seven plastic. So it must be ending up in our landfills and possibly blowing out into the ocean. And it's not totally true. Mm-hmm. It was just a play on words, mm-hmm. but it was Seven in the Ocean for me was a blog where I was just ranting about plastic for a number of years, mm-hmm. until I realized that what was more helpful for people was not me ranting about plastic. And what in fact I quite liked doing more was sharing stories of what other people and businesses are doing to help combat this massive problem of plastic pollution. So Seven in the Ocean has evolved to become a storytelling platform, and that's the space I use on the internet to record these stories and share them with my friends and with just the various people in my life, because I think these stories need to be told.
Mm. So I'm just kind of curious, you trained as a scientist and now your work is all about storytelling. I believe you have a background in marine science. So tell us a little bit about the story of how you got into storytelling as your main focus.
So my journey from science to storytelling. So I began my adult career as a marine scientist in university, thinking that I wanted to do research science. But as I was going along, I realized there was what I thought was a little bit of a gap between some of the research being done and what the general public knew about that research. And as I continued along in various jobs and whatnot, I started to gravitate more towards the things that brought people to where they were in their current place in life. And I started to get really interested in capturing those stories and learning more about people. And I realized that what I liked most about marine science and the people that I was meeting was not necessarily the research or the hard science and data, but it was more about who they were, who these people were, what they were doing, and what their stories were. And part of what inspired me to continue on the storytelling trajectory is that everybody has a story, and often they don't think they have a story, but what they're doing in their lives, either in business or in their personal lives, to create a better world for themselves or their family or their community, it can be inspiring to others because it doesn't have to be anything big, and it often isn't. So that's sort of how I went from research science to storytelling. I just like to collect and hear stories.
Mm. So in your video submission, you talked about how some of the places where you're seeing plastic pollution challenges, you're also seeing the stories of incredible local solutions bubbling up in the same places. I'd love to hear if you could share some of these specific stories of what you call everyday earth heroes that have inspired you.
Totally. The list is endless. So I guess In the current place I am in Kelowna, British Columbia, there's a few people that I've had the great pleasure of meeting and becoming friends with. And one of them is this woman, Alicia, and she opened a zero waste store in the middle of this crazy time. And it's been wildly successful. And she has such a passion for keeping the planet clean for her children and for her community, and to provide the community of Kelowna with accessible zero waste options that are plastic free, that are healthy, and financially cost saving. And so she opened the store, and she's one person with a team of people who has been able to make this work. And it's been so wonderful to watch the place blossom and to see the community that's coming out of the woodwork to support her in this endeavor. Mm.
The person we just spoke with on the episode, another one of our winners, is starting a store in New Hampshire where she lives. So yeah, it's great to hear that you're one of your favorite stories is someone just a few steps ahead in that process where the store is helping build community and all those good things.
Absolutely. That's wonderful. Yeah. The movement is growing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Any other touching examples that come to mind from the many stories you have in your head?
Yeah, that's part of the problem. I have so many stories I sometimes have a hard time writing them all down. Another one, I guess, is actually in Maine, where I used to live. And it's one that I discovered after I left Maine, which is a bit unfortunate. But there's this woman that I connected with through social media, actually. And she lives, it turns out, not far from where I used to live in Maine. And she's a seamstress and also a lover of plants. And she's got quite a green thumb. So her business is called Amphitrite Studio. And she creates beautiful home goods like linen napkins and pillowcases and all sorts of lovely reusable bags, that sort of thing. And she also does one-of-a-kind hand-sewn garments made out of sustainable fibers. And she's been such an interesting person to connect with, totally through social media, which is fascinating to me. But she has such a passion for creating clean, simple, quality materials for people to adorn their homes with. And it's been really inspiring to follow her journey as well. And I'm actually wearing one of her pieces right now, and it's just like a second skin, and it's totally sustainable and plastic free. And I love it.
Awesome. It's interesting too. I'd like to hear you share more about how you discovered that the ranting part was less effective and that the sharing the positive solutions might work a little better. Can you speak to that a bit?
Absolutely. I think when I was starting the blog, I was in a very idealistic phase of my life. And, to me, I saw the solutions quite clearly. We just needed to stop using so much plastic. Everybody should be using reusable bags, that sort of thing. I have a memory of literally throwing reusable bags at my roommates back in those days before they were going shopping, just so they wouldn't forget them. but it wasn't landing with me at some point. It flipped, because I realized if you just yell about a problem, ranting, people tend to tune out, or it's a bit aggressive, and that kind of energy doesn't really get you very far, especially these days. And between the time I started the blog and now, I went through a few major life changes. I think I evolved as a person. I guess it's a constant process. We're always evolving. But I also I dove deeply into a yoga and meditation practice. And I know that might sound silly, but it really helped me to calm my mind down. And it completely shifted my energy from being the ranting, sort of aggressive in your face type of person to more active listening and hearing people out and understanding more about where people are coming from, because everybody has their own journey. And I realized through that process that ranting and, you know, just being aggressive about my communication wasn't effective for me or for anybody else. Mm-hmm. And what I think what I noticed landing more when I would write things, when I shifted into this storytelling phase, I got more engagement and people were more interested in sharing their story. And all of a sudden I would get messages from people about how they had made changes in their own lives. And it was really neat to see what that subtle shift in the way that I communicated, the effect it had.
That's so interesting. It was like more of an open door for conversation, it sounds like, with your followers rather than people feeling talked at.
Absolutely. And I also, in my own journey, was realizing that what resonated with me was when people didn't just talk at me, when they were engaging and listening and sort of creating a dialogue back and forth. And that totally changed how I communicated. And I think I'm still working it out, but I think that's the path that I've now taken and chosen.
That's beautiful. So one of the things that you mentioned in your video that stood out to me was how you see it's important for people to see how we don't all have to start businesses like Mladen and Jess, who I spoke to earlier in this episode, and that there's so many small actions that can add up to being everyday earth heroes in our own lives. So what are some of the examples of those meaningful small actions that you see and you find inspiring in your storytelling work that you're doing?
That's a great question. And it's so important, especially these days with so much everything online and our lives seemingly feeling filtered sometimes. It's hard to think that a small action can have meaning. But some of the best little sort of pockets of stories that I find are when I have friends email me to tell me that they've noticed that a restaurant has switched from using plastic straws to paper straws, or they themselves have sewn their own reusable cutlery kit for their backpack, or something like that, or they've built their own compost bin. These tiny little things that individuals are doing, I guess on the surface might seem like drops in the bucket, but that's how the bucket gets filled. I love the stories of business owners and people taking bigger action, but I also just love these this collection of smaller actions of people doing just everyday things, growing their food in their backyard so they don't have to use as much plastic packaging at the grocery store, or having backyard chickens. And these days, it seems like those stories are just bursting at the seams. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, the quarantine life has helped many people get into simple things like cooking, growing food. A lot of those slowing down activities have become more accessible again.
Absolutely, and more important. I think people care about that more.
Well, it's wonderful to have an ally as in amplifying the positive stories. So thank you for what you do. For our listeners who want to hear more of Ryan's stories, you can follow her at Seven in the Ocean on Instagram, sevenintheocean.com. Are there any other social plugs that would be helpful, Ryan?
I guess on Facebook, it's the same handle, but it's just social media in general. Awesome. I'm more active on Instagram.
Yeah, awesome. And she has beautiful photos. I wanted to compliment your photos on Instagram.
Thank you.
So great. Thanks so much, Ryan, for joining and for participating in Plastic Free July.
Thank you so much for having me, Brooking. I'm so grateful for this opportunity to connect with Upstream and you, and for sharing my story.
Well, I want to thank again Mladen, Jess, and Ryan for the work they're doing in the world to help act as solutioneers, helping build a better way than throwaway, amplifying stories, taking small and large actions in their everyday lives and communities. And as Ryan mentioned, you know, even small actions add up. Every drop in the bucket fills the bucket. So I know there are many, many more listeners out there who are taking their own small and large everyday actions to build a world without waste. And I wish we could have featured every one of you on this episode, and there will be more opportunities to engage. As always, if you have stories that you think might be great to feature on the Indisposable podcast, feel free to reach out to us at info@upstreamsolutions.org. And though Plastic Free July is over, we hope you all will continue taking those small actions in your own lives to build a better way than throwaway throughout the year. Till next time. And that's our show. If you like what you're hearing, help spread the word. Subscribe to the Indisposable Podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Add a review, talk us up. Nobody spreads a message like you. The Indisposable Podcast is brought to you by Upstream, sparking innovative solutions to plastic pollution, envisioning a world without it, and empowering businesses, communities, and individuals to imagine and co-create this future with us. You can find resources mentioned on today's episode, as well as learn more about Upstream's work at www.upstreamsolutions.org. Follow us on social and join the movement. There's a better way than throwaway.